For the final time, on this visit at least, to introduce Harav David Stav. Before I do so, I just want to point out that this morning we have a double header, and Rav Stav will finish at approximately 10 past 10, and then at about 10:20, Steve Rosenberg will speak, and everyone is invited to remain for that presentation as well. The opportunity to hear of Stav over the course of Shabbos a number of times, I think, has been a very not only enlightening but uplifting experience for us, and it's really a pleasure to call upon him. For those who did not get the opportunity to hear him over the course of Shabbos, Rabbi Stav is the chairman of Tzohar and is the Rav of the city of the ear of Shoham. It's easy to understand why he's Avnei HaShoham. It is a pleasure to call upon Harav David Stav in honor of Yom Yerushalayim to offer you.
Thank you very much, and this is the opportunity that I take in order to express my appreciation to the Rabbi Shmilman and his wife for the very, very warm hospitality they had in their home. You know, these days are the last days of the Daf Yomi of Masechet Midot. I never knew why the Daf Yomi, that should have concentrated on Gemara, why it happened to deal with a few Masechet of Mishnayot that have no Gemara on them. But when I arrived to the Daf Yomi of today, I saw that, I don't know if that's the reason, but at least it fits to our day, to that date of Yom Yerushalayim. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah of this day says the following: 13 pirzot, 13 holes were made by the Greek Empire that conquered Yerushalayim. And when the Maccabites released the place of Beit HaMikdash, they established Kenegdam 13 Ishtachvaot. Wherever we went through to the Beit HaMikdash and we passed through those holes of that were made, that were done by the Greek, we had to make Ishtachvaya to bow in order to express our Hakarat HaTov, our appreciation to Hashem for the miracles that He has done for us by having the ability to release Yerushalayim from the Greeks. And I think there is nothing more suitable to learn in the Yom Shichur Yerushalayim, Yom Yerushalayim, to learn except of that Mishnah. I mean, this Mishnah expresses how our previous sages knew how to appreciate, how to express their appreciation to Hashem for all the Nisim, for all the miracles that He has done for us. A few days before Yom Yerushalayim, there was published a very interesting research that was done in Israel. What are the priorities of the Americans that make Aliyah, and hopefully all of them are going to make Aliyah? What are their priorities in the aspect of where do they prefer to live? So the research did not check Ra'anana or Beit Shemesh, but it did check their priorities referring to Yerushalayim. And the conclusion of that research said the following: that 35% of the Americans that make Aliyah live in Yerushalayim, which is a tremendous percentage. There is no other community that has such a high percentage of people that prefer to live in Yerushalayim. So I guess one of the reasons is because the Americans understand that there is a very, very important mitzvah, not only to live in Eretz Israel, but to live in Yerushalayim. And what we are going to check in the next couple of minutes is there a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim besides the mitzvah, besides the commitment to live in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Israel, is there any reason, specific reason, halachically or spiritually, that tells us that you should live in Yerushalayim? The second part of the question is should be whether Baka or Katamon is considered to be Yerushalayim. That's the second part of the question, and the answer is most probably no. Katamon is not considered to be Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the ancient Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim that was surrounded by the walls, and not by the current walls, but by the walls that existed 2,000 years ago. But that's the second part of the shir. So now let's discuss the first question. Is there a specific mitzvah to live in the city of Yerushalayim? I guess the papers are in front of the of the people. Well, I heard from Rav Zev that not every Sunday this shiur is given here to men and women. But today, not only in honor of Yom Yerushalayim, I think at least the topic that we chose to speak about is a topic that should deals with issues of family. And that's how the Mishnah describes the mitzvah to come to live in Eretz Israel. Hakol, source number one. Hakol ma'alim le'eretz Israel ve'en hakol motzi'im. Now, I don't want to go into Shalom Bayit since I have a lot of appreciation. I can't talk to Rosh Schmidman, and I don't want him to deal a lot with the issues of disputes between couples. So I will just say in general that if the husband or his wife want to make aliyah, they have the right to force the husband or the wife to go with them. And if one of them refuses, suppose the husband refuses to make aliyah, the woman has the right to sue, to ask him for a get, and to get the ketubah. And vice versa, if his wife doesn't want to make aliyah, and the husband wants to make aliyah, he is allowed to force her if she doesn't want. So then he is allowed to give her a get, and to give her a get without the ketubah. Which means that it's her fault for that divorce. She's responsible for this divorce, and therefore he could give her a get without paying her, without giving her the ketubah. Ve'en hakol motzi'im. The same story applies to the opposite situation. If a couple lives in Israel and the husband wants to go back, or not to go back, he wants to move to the States, the wife has the right to ask for a get, and he will have to give her a ketubah, because it's his responsibility, it's his fault that he wants to go to the States and now he's staying in Eretz Israel. And in the vice versa, if she wants to go back to the States and the husband doesn't agree, so then he has the right to give her a get without giving her the ketubah. The reason for that is very simple. Why is he or she, why do they have the right to break the family in order to come to Eretz Israel? Because of the importance of mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Israel. And therefore, whoever maintains that this mitzvah is not relevant today because of various reasons, so then this Mishnah is not relevant, is not valid anymore. Because if the whole reason to break the family was because of mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so if this mitzvah does not exist anymore, so then this Mishnah is not relevant anymore. By the way, when the Mishnah says that everybody has the right to force his husband or her husband or his wife to make aliyah, the Gemara asks, what is the Mishnah trying to include in that halacha, because it says hakol ma'alim. She could have said a husband could force his wife and vice versa. Why does the Mishnah say hakol, everybody? And the Gemara answers in the second part of the second line, le'atuye minave hayafe lenave ra'a. Although he lives here in a beautiful building, and in Eretz Israel they are going to reduce their standard of living, and it's going to be a smaller house, and maybe only an apartment, and not a big building, still, each one of the couple has the right to force the second half to move with him to Eretz Israel. So that's the first part of the Mishnah. But then in the same line of Hakol Ma'alim Le'Eretz Israel Ve'en Hakol Motzi'im Hakol Ma'alim Lirushalayim Ve'en Hakol Motzi'im. The same expression that is used referring to Eretz Israel, the Mishnah uses in terms of Yerushalayim, which means that if I live, and I happen to live in Shoham, and I used to live with my wife in Yerushalayim, well, not the real Yerushalayim, but the American part of Yerushalayim in Har Nof, and when we decided to move from Har Nof to Bnei Darom, that happened to be a beautiful place near KBY, near Ashdod, Bnei Darom. And when we decided to move there, actually, my wife had the right to say, I don't agree. And if she doesn't agree, she has a good reason. If the fact that I'm here for that Yom Yerushalayim is not a good enough reason, she had the right to ask for a get, because I was committed, and she was committed, to live in Yerushalayim. And if one part of the couple decides that he doesn't want to live in Yerushalayim, so then the second part, the second half, has the right to ask for a get. That's what's written here. Akol ma'alim liYerushalayim, ve'en akol motziim. Everybody is committed to go to Yerushalayim, and everybody is committed and could ask and could demand from his wife and from her husband to make Aliyah to Yerushalayim. And if they live already in Yerushalayim, they have the right to demand to remain in Yerushalayim, and if not, they have the right to ask for a get. Now this Mishnah is, although it's written in the last few pages of Masechet Ketubot that are all full with pages of Agadah, this is not an Agadah, this is not a legend, this is a real halacha, as it says in the Rambam, in source number 2, Ish she'aya me'eretz min ha'aratzot. And I will skip in order to get in time to what I try to. The last paragraph, Amar ha'ish la'alot le'eretz Yisrael, ve'hi eina rotza, tetze belo ktuba. He has the right to give her a get without a ktuba. Amra hi la'alot, vehu eino rotze, yotzi v'yiten ktuba. Vehu adin lechol makom me'eretz Yisrael im Yerushalayim. She'akol ma'alim le'eretz Yisrael ve'en akol motzi'im sham. Hakol ma'alim l'Yerushalayim ve'en akol motzi'im sham. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. By the way, it's a very, very heavy language. The Rambam says the halacha, and then in order to give the reason for that halacha, he feels that something is wrong with this halacha. It sounds very strange, and I will refer to it in a minute. And then he has no other choice but to quote the Mishnah. The Rambam usually does not quote the sources that he based himself on them. That's the whole idea of the Rambam, to write again the halacha without quoting the sources that he is based upon. And here, he quotes, he says the halacha, and after he finishes saying the halacha, he quotes the Mishnah that we have just read, in order to make sure that you understand what he's saying, and in order to make sure that you trust him, that he didn't quote the Mishnah in a wrong way. So he says the halacha, and then he adds, and the source for that halacha is the Mishnah. Hakol ma'alim Yerushalayim ve'en hakol motzi'im Mishnah. What are the difficulties with this halacha? The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is a very famous mitzvah. Vishartem ba'aretz. And there are other places that the Torah mentions the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, and the Gemara mentions this mitzvah tens of times. But there is not even one place, there is not even one place in the Gemara that I know. I guess maybe other could tell about sources that I have never seen. There is not even one place in the Gemara that says, that maintains, that gives a hint that there is a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim more than to live in Tel Aviv or in Hebron or in Tzfat or in Shoah. There is not even one place except for that Mishnah that says, Akol ma'alim Yerushalayim. Except for that place, there is not one place in the Torah, in the Gemara, and wherever you want, that gives a hint that there is a special mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, most of the prophets did not live in Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu lived in Anatot, and other prophets lived in other places. Shmuel Hanavi lived in Ramah, in the Giv'ah, somewhere in the north part of Yerushalayim, near Nebi Samuel. We never heard about the prophets that said, that declared, that there is a special mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, we never saw that they lived in Yerushalayim. So how come the Mishnah says it in such a regular way? Everybody could force his wife, and the wife could force her husband to come and to make Aliyah to Yerushalayim and to live in Yerushalayim. And they refer to this as a mitzvah, and there is nobody is questioning that fact, that halacha that seems to be very clear, that there is a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. So that's number one, that's the question number one. How come we didn't find even in one place, except for that place, that everybody is commanded to live in Yerushalayim? But number two, if such a mitzvah exists, it doesn't make sense. What does Hashem expect from us? He wants every Jew to live in Yerushalayim. Well, me'olam lo amar adam tzar li ha'makom. Nobody said that it's too narrow, the place in Yerushalayim. He has no room, he has no space in Yerushalayim. Okay, but still, we never... How do you dream to defend the borders of Eretz Israel if everybody will live in Yerushalayim? I mean, this halacha doesn't make sense. If there is such a halacha, the halacha doesn't make sense. So maybe the Gemara wants to tell us that Atidai Yerushalayim, in the future, Yerushalayim will be expanded until Damascus. Okay, so all Eretz Israel will be one big Yerushalayim. But if that's the meaning, so there is no meaning to say that there is a special mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim, because all of Eretz Yisrael is going to be Yerushalayim. So then it's meaningless to say that there is a special mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. As a matter of fact, the Torah says, or at least gives a hint, that there is not a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. How could I say that? Because the Torah tells us that every Jew should make Aliyah LaRegel 3 times a year. If the Torah says that you should make Aliyah LYerushalayim 3 times a year, isn't this a proof that besides these 3 times that we have to go to come to Yerushalayim, we don't have to be in Yerushalayim the entire time? And there is another mitzvah that educates us to have our vocations in Yerushalayim. How come? How could I prove that? You know that there is a mitzvah to give Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, 1/10 of all the products of the wheat, of the wine, of the oil that we had, we have to collect this tenth of the product and we have to take it to Yerushalayim. Well, I guess most of us will not be able to drink so much wine. So the Torah offers us to sell the wine, and instead of the wine, to buy meat, to buy fish, to buy other products in order to eat them in Yerushalayim. So I guess if we refer to 10% of our wheat and of our olives and wine and grapes, I guess in order to spend this amount of money, 10% of the income, I guess you'll have to spend at least 1 month in Yerushalayim, which is about 10% of the year. And the Torah recommends us to spend our vacation in Yerushalayim, to eat the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. And the Torah gives us a very, very interesting reason, a very important reason to do that. Leman tilmad leira et Hashem Elokecha. When you'll come to Yerushalayim and you will eat and you will enjoy in the climate, which happened to be a very good climate in Yerushalayim, and the spiritual atmosphere of Yerushalayim, you will learn how to fear from Hashem. That's the idea of Maaser Sheni. Leman tilmad liira et Hashem. But again, this command was given to us only once a year, and not even every year, because this Maaser Sheni was given only 4 years out of the 7 years of the Shemitah. In the first year, second year, fourth and fifth year. So 4 years out of the seven, we have to spend 1 month in Yerushalayim. Okay, so this is a mitzvah that I heard, but we never heard and we never saw that the Torah tells us, in general, you should live in Yerushalayim. And the fact that the Torah commands us to bring Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim is a wonderful proof to the fact that there is not a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. Because if there was a chiyuv to live in Yerushalayim, so then what's the issue of Maaser Sheni? You should live in Yerushalayim always. Okay. The poskim, in the current generation, the Tzitz Eliezer, dealt with that question, and it was asked by a couple, one of them. It's not written beferush, but it seems to be the impression when you read the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, that a couple ask him if they are allowed to move from Yerushalayim to another city because of financial problems. I guess he got a job somewhere else, and the question was, is he allowed to leave Yerushalayim? You could give a look in source number 4. לדעתי, אם מותר לאדם מישראל לעקור דירתו מירושלים ולעבור לגור למקום אחר בארץ ישראל. לדעתי, אין ההיתר כל כך פשוט. It's not that simple. And he quotes the Gemara and the Rambam that we have just quoted. And then, in the bottom line of source number 4, ואם כן, אם יש דין כפייה לעלות ממקום בארץ ישראל, לגור בירושלים, וכפייה שלא לצאת ממנה, לגור במקום אחר בארץ ישראל, הרי נשמע מזה ממילא, שאותו הדין ישנו גם על האדם בעצמו, שלא לעקור את דירתו מירושלים, המקודשת יותר, ולעבור לגור למקום אחר בארץ ישראל. The question that he was asked was not about a debate between the husband and the wife. Both of them decided to move from Yerushalayim to another city. But the question was, can we prove from that Mishnah if the husband could force his wife to move to Yerushalayim and he could force her to remain in Yerushalayim, and if vice versa she could do this for her husband, doesn't it prove that even if both of them agree, they are not allowed to move from Yerushalayim, because the same reason that she or he have the right to force their couple, the second half, the same reason that they have, because of the same reason that they have the right to force the husband or the wife, because of the same reason, both of them, even if they agree, have not the right, don't have the right to move from Yerushalayim to another place. Because he guesses, that it's Eliezer, that there is a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim. Because otherwise, he could not explain. How come you could force your husband to remain in Yerushalayim or to move to Yerushalayim, but when you and him agree to leave Yerushalayim, you have no problem? How come? It's not rational. So therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer ends up saying that they cannot move from Yerushalayim. And he has a whole tshuva about that. I will not read all of the tshuva. And he maintains to say that even according to the poskim that say that there is not a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today, they would agree that there is a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim, which makes the situation much worse. That even if you decided to remain in the States, okay. But if you live already in Eretz Yisrael, you have no other choice but to live in Yerushalayim. And then he ends up saying, I'm almost in the end of the tshuva, it's a very, very long tshuva, in Seif Tet, Vezot Lemudai. It's almost in the end of source 4, 9 lines before source number 5. Al af ha-ashva'a, despite the comparison, shel ha-isur yetzi'a mi-Yerushalayim le-Eretz Yisrael, le-isur yetzi'a mi-Eretz Yisrael le-Chutz La'aretz. Despite the Mishnah compares, and it seems to be compared, bechol zot, chomer ha-isur hu yoter be-arbe le-en aroch, be-yetzi'a mi-Eretz Yisrael le-Chutz La'aretz. The isur to leave Eretz Yisrael and to go to diaspora is much bigger. Well, I don't know what does it mean bigger. Is there an issue, or it doesn't, or such an issue doesn't exist? I don't understand the language. What does it mean? Is there a chiyuv to live in Yerushalayim, or such a chiyuv does not exist? Is there an issue to move from Yerushalayim to another place? Is there an issue or not? What do you mean? It's much more chamur. How do you say chamur?
Severe.
It's much more severe. What do you mean? I know Isur and I know Mitzvah. I know it's allowed or it's forbidden. What do you mean it's much more severe? What does it mean? Okay. In the next couple of minutes, I'll try to... He ends up saying that all this Isur, if it exists, it exists only in the ancient part of Yerushalayim that does not refer to the current Yerushalayim, and therefore there isn't a mitzvah to live in Katamon or Arnof more than there is a mitzvah to live in Ranana or in the Chemesh, so everybody could be relaxed and he could make Aliyah, and it's not necessary for him to live only in Yerushalayim. But now we want to understand how come the husband and the wife have the right to force the second part to live in Yerushalayim, and still I will try to maintain that there is not such a mitzvah. There isn't a command to live in Yerushalayim. But in order to explain that, I will need a few more minutes. I have. Okay. There is a very, very famous Gemara that says the following. It's forbidden to leave Eretz Israel except for 3 reasons. One reason is to learn Torah. Second reason is to marry a woman. And the third reason is if you don't have panasa, if you have to earn money and you cannot do that in Eretz Israel, so you have the right to do that in Chosla. Tosfot brings a very, very interesting dispute about the following question. You learn beautiful in Eretz Yisrael, so you have no reason for that. You are already married, and you're not looking for another woman, so that's not a reason to leave Eretz Yisrael. And you have Baruch Hashem, a good parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. But somebody asked you to come to Chutz La'aretz in order to make a mitzvah that you have never done in Eretz Yisrael, and that it's impossible to do in Eretz Yisrael. Like what? He found a tzipor, and you have now the way to make shiluach haken in Chutz La'aretz, and there are no tziporim in Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. Well, it's not true. Under my tree, just a few days ago, I saw a tzipor, and I was so astonished to see that tzipor on its eggs in the tree in my backyard. But suppose that's the situation, and there are no tziporim in Eretz Yisrael, and somebody comes over to you and tells you, well, I can offer you, please come to the States, we have plenty of tziporim, and you'll be able to make the mitzvah of shiluach haken. Or, unfortunately, they're not filling in Eretz Yisrael. And somebody tells you, look, you cannot put on filling here in Eretz Yisrael, but you can put on filling in Chutz La'aretz. There is no problem to put on filling in Chutz La'aretz. But there is a problem to put on filling in Eretz Yisrael. Is it included in the three reasons that allow people to live Eretz Yisrael? When the Gemara says to learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, it means to say only to learn Torah, but to observe other mitzvot, to fulfill other mitzvot that it's impossible to do in Eretz Yisrael, it's not permitted. Or, no. Talmud Torah is just an example, but it could refer, it could apply to other mitzvot as well. When I was in Antwerp as a shaliach, almost 30 years ago, not 30, 25 years ago, I happened to meet once Reb Chaim Kreisler, that was one of the real gdolim, and he asked me once, when we were in our way to Eretz Israel, he asked me, who gave you that to leave Eretz Israel to Antwerp? So I said, what do you mean? It's written, Lilmot Torah, Stome. Lilmot Torah includes Lelamed Torah. And he said, no, it's a Sofek in the Prima Godim that raises this question, whether Lelamed Torah is included in Lilmot Torah or not. So that was the hub that Reb Chaim Kreisler taught me. That's all. The Tosfot brings a very, very interesting dispute between two Rishonim. One says Talmud Torah and to marry a wife, to marry a woman, these are the most important mitzvot. And therefore, the heter, the allowance to leave Eretz Israel applies only to this mitzvot. But in order to fulfill other mitzvot, you are not allowed to leave Eretz Israel. That's one position that the Tosfot brings. But the second one, quoted by the Rav Achai Gaon, one of the previous Gaonim, he quotes him to say, if the Gemara allows to leave Eretz Israel because of these two mitzvot, that there are so mitzvot kalot, not severe. If the Torah allows to leave Eretz Yisrael for this mitzvot, kal vachomer is for sure allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for other mitzvot. Now, I ask a question. How come? I'm not interested in the dispute whether it's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to put on tefillin or not. What interests me, what caught my eye was that two Rishonim have such an extreme dispute about the value of marrying a wife and of learning Torah. One says these are the most important mitzvot, and the other one says no, the opposite. These are the easiest mitzvot, the less important mitzvot. And If the Torah allows to leave Eretz Yisrael for this mitzvot, so for sure it will allow to leave Eretz Yisrael for other mitzvot. How come two Rishonim go so far, they are so extreme, so in the edges. Is mitzvah Talmud Torah the most important mitzvah, or is the less important mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to marry, to build a mishpacha, to build a family, is this considered to be the most important mitzvah, or is it considered to be the less important mitzvah? What is the, how comes such a gap between these two positions? And my answer is very, very simple. Both positions are right. It depends from what perspective you look at them. Talmud Torah, learning Torah, if you analyze this mitzvah on the formal way, as the Gemara says, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said that, the one that learned for himself in the cave 12 years, he said you can be Yosei Dechovah by saying Kriyat Shema in the morning and reciting Kriyat Shema at night. This is enough. Mevatlim Talmud Torah, you can decide not to learn Torah for any reason. To do parnosa, to play with the kids, to do any mitzvah that exists. To be gomel chasadim, to go to visit the sick people. There isn't one mitzvah that it's so easy to cancel it or to postpone the fulfilling of that mitzvah like Talmud Torah. That's on one hand. On the second hand, there isn't a mitzvah that gives actually the quality of life, the quality of being observant like Talmud Torah. If someone doesn't learn Torah, he's just observing the mitzvot, it's like a body without a soul. It's like mitzvat anashim milumadai, you're doing it, maaseh avotehem bidehem, we follow what our parents were accustomed to do, but we don't feel identified with these activities. It has no meaning for us. The essence of Jewish life is Talmud Torah, is learning, is understanding. Is understanding, the learning the will of Hashem, the mitzvot of Hashem. But if we will be formalistic, we will say it's enough to say Kriyat Shema in the morning and it's enough to say Kriyat Shema at night. But on the other hand, V'agita bo yomam v'laila is describing us the essence of our life. It describes us what are our goals in life. To understand what is the essence of our life, and to understand that besides all the needs that we have to come through because we have family and because we have to earn money and because of other reasons, but the reason why we live is in order to learn Torah, in order to understand what is the essence of our existence. The same thing applies to building a family. Again, formally, already the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot postponed that mitzvah in 5 years. Although everybody is committed to make mitzvot since 13 years old, our previous sages understood that it's impossible to marry a woman in the age of 13. So they postponed it to 18. Well, it seems to be that most of the observant people do not follow this rule of 18 years to the chuppah. How come? Why? Because we understand that there are other issues that gives us the legitimacy in order to postpone that age. Because we have to learn Torah, or because we have to learn in the university, or because we have to go to the army in Israel, and other reasons that give us the legitimacy to postpone the wedding. And there is another reason to postpone the wedding. Because we didn't find someone that wants us. And therefore, there's another reason why we delay the age of marriage. So it's a mitzvah. Nobody could deny that there is a mitzvah to build a family. But on the other hand, it's not a mitzvah like to put on film. Because to put on film, you can't say, well, I'm not prepared mentally to put on film. Although we will use this kind of explanation to delay weddings or to postpone the age of weddings, But we'll never use this terminology when we refer to observe Shabbos. Oh, Shabbos is not, I'm not ready for Shabbos. It's not, we'll never say that. And number one, because we are always not ready to Shabbos. And number two, because it's not a reason. And we understand that this is not a reason to delay the Shabbos. So, the reason, this defines actually the mitzvah of building a family. When we speak formally, it is a very, very, it's a very, very flexible mitzvah. You can postpone it, you can make it earlier, you can delay. It's not that strict on one hand. On the second hand, I don't have to tell you that to build a family and the meaning of building a family, I think that when I say to myself, when will I be sure that I succeeded in the education of my kids, is when I see what kind of a groom or bride they bring home and what kind of a family they build for themselves. As long as he is a bachur or she is a girl and she learns in the university or in the yeshiva or wherever, okay, we cannot tell it what's going to happen there. But when they build a family and we see what's the spirituality of this couple and what the spirituality of that family that they are building, we can assure ourselves that they've gone in the right way. So these two mitzvot of family and learning Torah, I could understand the reasons why these two Rishonim said such positions that seem to be so contradicting, but they are not. Because one of them is right, because to build a family, and if the Torah allows us to leave Eretz Israel because of Limud Torah or because of building a family, on one hand, these are the most important mitzvot, because these are the essence, the mitzvot that express the essence of Jewish life, on one hand. On the second hand, on the formal level, these mitzvot are the easiest mitzvot to postpone, to delay, not to fulfill in the current. Once I said that, I want to come to the idea of what is the reason that a man or a wife could force, or a woman could force, the second part to come to Yerushalayim. The Tzitz Eliezer gave us a hint. He did not use the word it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. I will go back to the Tzitz Eliezer. And he says in the source number 4, he said שלא לעקור את דירתו מירושלים המקודשת יותר. It's not a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim more than to live in Tel Aviv. But we cannot ignore the fact that whoever lives in Yerushalayim experiences more sanctity than the people that live elsewhere. To live nearby the Kotel, to live nearby the Beit HaMikdash, to live nearby the places where you see 10 miracles a day, you have to be something very special in order to prevent yourself from absorbing a bit of that atmosphere. I know people that when they come to Yerushalayim, when they just put their foot in Yerushalayim, they feel holier. They feel something different. It's different from Tel Aviv. It's different from Shoam as well. It's something different. I can't prove it. I can't describe it. I can only tell that this is what is written about Yerushalayim. That once people came to Yerushalayim, they felt themselves holier. And a man or a woman could ask from his second part, please, I want to be a better person. And please, I want you to help me to improve ourselves. I want you to be with me in the higher stage of spirituality. And therefore, As the whole idea of marriage, as we've just said, is not only an idea of fulfilling the mitzvah, because fulfilling the mitzvah, we could postpone the mitzvah. It's not, it's an important mitzvah, but this is not a strict mitzvah. It's not that tight that you cannot postpone it. But the reason why to marry a woman is so important, and therefore we allow you to leave Eretz Israel to build a family, because we understand that what will be the level of spirituality of your life is depending on the wife that you will marry with. And it depends on the question what kind of a family you will build. And if one of the parts of the family says, I feel that I want to live in the atmosphere, in the holiness of Yerushalayim, she or he have the right to demand that. Because the whole importance of family is the climate, is the spirituality that exists among these, that couple, the man and his wife. And therefore, it is a reason for them to demand to move to Yerushalayim because of the Kiddushah of Yerushalayim, and not because it is a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim more than to live in Tel Aviv. The Nevi'im got along without living in Yerushalayim. They could stay in other places. And other Jews did so as well. But if someone feels that he wants to live in that atmosphere, the Mishnah gives him the right to demand that from the second part of the family. And so if I would try to, and I have to finish my share, there are people that maintain that maybe there is a more mitzvah, which is that it's very hard to define. What kind of mitzvah is it to live in Yerushalayim? And where is it written that there is a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim? And therefore there were rabbis that did not live in Yerushalayim, because they believed that it's forbidden to live Eretz Israel, and as well it's forbidden to live Yerushalayim. There are stories that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach never slept out of Yerushalayim. But on the other hand, it's not written nowhere that such a mitzvah exists. The only place where we find this mitzvah is referring to a family. When one of the couple decides that he wants to live in Yerushalayim, that he wants to live in a higher level of spirituality, he has the right to ask that from his wife, or she has the right to ask that from her husband. Let me congratulate all of you. Bezrat Hashem, let's start with seeing you in Eretz Israel, and afterwards we'll discuss the issue of Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom. Thank you very much.
We will start the next program at about 10:20. Rav Stav is on an extremely tight schedule, so we ask that you allow him to exit in good fashion.